from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The great Chris Biederman from the Sacramento Bee and, of course, Candlestick Chronicles. What's going on, Chris?
What's up, guys? How are you? How's everything going?
Good, man. Good.
It's August 14th, and Brandon Ayuk hasn't been traded, Chris. We're doing about as well as we can, I guess.
I'm with you, man. I am ready for whatever resolution that they're going to come to. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for whatever it's going to be. Enough of the news reports. Let's just get something finalized so we can talk about that instead of trying to analyze what's happening.
Do you have six different posts already pre-written on this?
I don't, but I know our good friend Kyle does, and I know some of my other friends who are on the beat do. It's just there are 20 different things can happen. It sounds like it's just up to Brandon Ayuk to make a decision.
So that's the thing. Are we just waiting on Brandon Ayuk at this point? Like, is it all just up to him, do you think?
That's my understanding, is that all the options have sort of been presented to him, and the 49ers, you know, he requested his trade, so the 49ers came up with basically three teams that they came up with trades with three other teams, and Washington pulled out. So it's my understanding that the 49ers have more or less acquiesced to the trade request, but what they haven't done is just, you know, decided to trade him on Brandon Ayuk's terms, right? Like, they're not trading him unless they get a haul back that they view as acceptable. And it sounded like they got that haul from New England and Cleveland, but Brandon Ayuk decided not to go to either of those places. So it's basically Brandon Ayuk sort of holding the decision, and maybe, you know, they're still negotiating his contract potentially to come back to the 49ers. So there is a 49ers element to that part of it, but it just sounds to me like the ball has been in Brandon Ayuk's court for most of the past week. And again, that's just my understanding, but, you know, who knows what's really happening at the negotiating table? I think only a handful of people do.
It kind of feels like Ayuk probably is in that mode where every day you feel something different. Like, one day you're like, okay, I'm ready to leave here. And then another day you're like, you know what? What am I doing? This is the best fit. I'm going to be a star here, especially once some of these other guys leave. But it's sort of that give and take, and it is a really difficult decision. I wish this would have played out 2 months ago. That seems like it would have been a better time to do all that.
Yeah, I'm sure the 49ers would have preferred this to, you know, like, this to all really get handled in, you know, April or March before the draft. If they knew, you know, I think the 49ers made a mistake in not expecting the wide receiver market to blow up, right? And if you if you believe the reports saying that the Niners offered Brandon Ayuk something like $26 million a year, and then you see all these other contracts where guys are getting $28 million, $30 million, $35 million in Justin Jefferson's case, that sounded like it changed what Brandon Ayuk was willing to accept. And now, you know, if the 49ers had the foresight to see that, you know, because in the NFL, these contracts always get bigger, right? Like, the prices for guys always get higher as time goes on, because you know, the caps continue to rise. Just that's just the way the markets worked in the NFL for years and years. And so the 49ers probably should have the foresight to have a pretty substantial offer for Brandon Ayuk early in the process rather than late in the process. And now it's costing them all this time and all this, you know, all this drama. Whereas, you know, if they knew they had a limit for Brandon Ayuk in terms of what they were going to pay and they wanted to trade him for draft capital, do it before the draft, get a first round pick, and then move on and you know, get a player that could potentially help your team now. There's I don't see any scenario in which trading Brandon Ayuk makes the 49ers a better team in 2024. Like, I think, you know, that's pretty widely accepted at this point that if the 49ers are trading him, they're not getting a package back that is enhancing their chances at getting to the Super Bowl. So they, in my opinion, they just need to get this deal done. And they erred in waiting so long to present Brandon Ayuk with an offer that's aligned with the market, and Brandon Ayuk is struggling to make a decision, it sounds like. So it sounds like this is a combination of both sides struggling to come to a decision, and we're all left here waiting to see what happens.
With guys like Deebo and Kittle getting older and all that, like, say they do trade Brandon Ayuk, how do you think that affects their contendership window as far as like Super Bowls?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to see how Ricky Pearsall is, right? How good he is. If he's, you know, if Ricky Pearsall can give you 80% of what Brandon Ayuk did, then I think you still feel pretty good about Kyle Shanahan being able to pull the strings. But the thing is, like, the thing with Brandon Ayuk and just in general with the 49ers that I don't think it's talked about enough, when you have all of these weapons, you're better able to absorb injury, right? Like, if you have Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel strains a hamstring and is out for 3 weeks, like, you're better able to absorb that injury to where if you trade away Brandon Ayuk and then, you know, then Deebo Samuel gets down, then it's like Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings are your starting receivers, and you don't feel nearly as good about that, right? So, you know, it's, people talk about, oh, there's, you know, you can only have so many weapons, there's only one ball to go around. It's like, well, yeah, but there's attrition in the NFL, particularly in a 17-game schedule. So to answer your question, I think, you know, Brandon Ayuk should be part of that next core, right? The 49ers are sort of aging out of their first core, and then they have this next core that's, you know, it's Nick Bosa, it's Brock Purdy. It should be Brandon Ayuk. He should be a part of that. So I think going forward, it would be a really tough blow to trade him right now, because you look at the next, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, Brandon Ayuk should be a part of that. And if he's not, then you're back to square one, hoping you can draft somebody to become as good as Brandon Ayuk is. And, you know, it's taken Brandon Ayuk 3 years to get to where he's at, and now you're talking about waiting 3 years for a guy like that to develop potentially. So I think it's tough.
We're here with Chris Biederman from the Sacramento Bee and Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, Kyle talks about this a lot, and he thinks the vibes are bad. The vibes around the team right now, they've got a bunch of injuries. They've got both the Trent Williams situation and the Brandon Ayuk situation kind of looming. I don't think the Trent Williams one is nearly as big a deal. I think that's just a matter of an older player who doesn't want to be in camp, which makes perfect sense. But do you feel the vibes are off with this team? And how do they fix that? How do they get back, knowing that they've got a 17-game schedule about to hit and that they have Super Bowl contention like ideas, and they're a team that made it there last year, and we know that usually doesn't work out the next year? Like, where are you at with the vibes?
Yeah, I mean, so I think some of that might be a little bit overstated in the sense that, like I agree with Kyle in that, like, the vibes aren't that good, but it's still August, right? Like, they basically have a month to get all of their guys healthy on the field and practicing and those types of things. But where, like, a slow start, and fortunately the 49ers scheduled to open the season isn't that difficult, but a slow start could be really detrimental in the sense that, you know, there's only one team in each conference that gets the bye, right? And the only time the 49ers have been to the Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan as head coach is when they've had that first round bye as the number one seed. So, you know, as we saw in 2021 and 2022, it gets extremely difficult when you're trying to go to the Super Bowl and having to play road games and not having the first round bye, right? So I think the 49ers ultimately, you know, even if they get off to a rough start and say they have two or three losses by mid-October, like, they, it's that enhances the level of stress that they have to go through to get to where they want to go. And it's a hell of a lot harder to win the Super Bowl if you're not the number one overall seed and you don't have that first round bye and you have to go on the road. It's just at some point, it makes, in a 17-game season, it makes it that much more difficult. So that to me is what I'm worried about, right? Because we've seen the 49ers get off to slow starts before and then become, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL in November and December. But the problem is those slow starts and losing those games in September and October have led to them not being the number one seed. And really, I think it's imperative that they get the number one seed, because having that bye is such an advantage, particularly when you've played as many games as the 49ers have in the last few years, particularly, you know, given the age of a lot of the key players on your roster, right? George Kittle, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, like all those guys really, really could use a week off from playing football instead of the stress.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Of a playoff game, right, early in January. So that to me is where this is the most concerning, is that if this kind of stuff lingers, you could get off to a slow start in the season, and then that could mean, you know, that can make it really difficult to get that number one seed and make your road to get to the Super Bowl easier. Because until the 49ers get to the Super Bowl without having that first round bye, I would say it's unlikely to happen. So I just need to see that from them, and this is what, like, when you talk about that conversation, you look at August and say, all right, are they going to be prepared to like in week one to be what they were last year when they went and beat up on the Steelers in Pittsburgh, right? Like, the Niners were in a good spot early on last season, to where right now it feels like it would be unlikely to get to that level early on in the year.
Do the injuries that concern you at all right now, they had to cancel joint practice with the Saints and all, it's just a matter of let's get the guys healthy for week one?
Yeah, I mean, anytime Christian McCaffrey's hurt, that's concerning, right? He had a pretty lengthy injury history, and even before the trade to acquire him, that was really the biggest question. It was like, man, you're going to trade all these draft picks for Christian McCaffrey, given that he's missed so much time in two of the previous 3 years, and he's been remarkably healthy since coming to the 49ers. So that's been a really solid development for them, but you know, how much of that can you bank on? How much can you bank on a running back in today's NFL that gets as many carries as Christian McCaffrey does to stay healthy throughout the entirety of the season? And so that's why the depth is important, right? Like, if Christian McCaffrey misses time, you'd feel a hell of a lot better if you had Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel out there still, right? But if you don't have Brandon Ayuk, and then, you know, you're probably a lot easier to defend if you're missing Christian McCaffrey. So that one concerns me. The other ones, you know, it doesn't, you know, Kalia Davis being out for a prolonged period doesn't really concern me all that much. It seems like a lot of these are just kind of bumps and bruises and strained muscles from training camp. There haven't been, you know, knock on wood, there haven't been any torn ACLs or, you know, torn Achilles in camp so far. So, you know, it seems like as much has been made of all the injuries in camp, none of them really seem to be like they're long term. And I think overall, that's a silver lining to this.
You mentioned Brock Purdy, like having weapons and all. Do you think the 49ers like kind of owe it to Brock to have Ayuk here, to have his number one receiver around?
Absolutely. I like, they're going to pay Brock Purdy $60 million a year next year. And in order to make the most of that investment, you need to make sure his favorite target is there. Like, to me, that's pretty easy logic, right? Like, we haven't seen Brock Purdy produce without Brandon Ayuk as his number one guy. So I think if you're making a $60 million a year investment in Brock Purdy, it absolutely behooves you to have a trusted veteran receiver in Brandon Ayuk who's going to be with him for 3-4 years going forward. To whereas if you don't, and the receiving core takes a big step back this year if Brandon Ayuk's gone, and then maybe next year, you know, you're asking Brock Purdy to do something he hasn't done before in his career, and then does that $60 million contract hold up? Are you getting the same level of production? I think the number one thing for the 49ers over the next few seasons, aside from just trying to win the Super Bowl, they have to maximize Brock Purdy, and the way you do that is surround him with the most talent possible, and that includes bringing back Brandon Ayuk on a long-term contract.
You are listening to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We have Chris Biederman from the Sacramento Bee and Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, you just said it right there. The 49ers are going to pay Brock Purdy $60 million next year. I think my question is, are they? Or are we going to do this all over again? And they're going to pay him. They're going to try to start out like $45 million. And then we're going to see this thing play out. You're going to be like, come on, what are we doing here? Because it's a never-ending cycle with these guys. They did it with Bosa. We've seen it with so many of their other players where it gets just they can't complete these deals early. So do you honestly think Brock Purdy's getting $60 million, and do you think he's going to get $60 million before the start of camp?
If any team knows the value of quarterback, it's the 49ers, just organizationally, right? Mm-hmm. They had Joe Montana. They had Steve Young. They know exactly how important that position is when it comes to winning Super Bowls. So, yeah, I would expect them to. And I wonder if, you know, coming out of the Nick Bosa stuff, coming out of this Brandon Ayuk situation, if they decide, all right, organizationally, we're just going to try to get these deals done earlier. Like, it's important that we just get these deals done. And Brock Purdy is eligible to sign his contract even after week 17 next year. So the Niners could, you know, if they're going in the playoffs, Brock Purdy could sign his contract before the playoffs start. And if I'm the Niners, I'm having the conversations with his agent during the season and being like, look, this is what it's going to be. And we're going to throw this offer at the table at week 17 so we can get this done. It's off Brock Purdy's mind going into the playoffs, right? Wouldn't that, if you were a player and you knew I just signed my contract, now, you know, the pressure's off. Like, my contract is not going to be dependent on how far I go in the playoffs. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense from both Brock Purdy's perspective and the Niners' perspective. Get that deal done as soon as possible so it's a weight off his shoulders, so he's not playing in the playoff game thinking like, oh, I got to really play well so I get paid, right? Like, Brock Purdy's proven in two playoff runs now that he's worthy of that money relative to what quarterbacks in the throughout the league make who haven't had nearly the playoff success that Brock Purdy's had. So, yeah, I do think they're going to, and I think that's probably why the Brandon Ayuk situation has been so tumultuous, is because the 49ers know they're really up against it because they have to pay Brock Purdy next year. And so, you know, I don't think, I mean, never say never, but I would be stunned if Brock Purdy wasn't on the 49ers on a deal in the $55 to $60 million range per year. And we're talking about it next offseason.
All right. Hey, Chris, we can't keep you all day. I do want to finish with one last question. You did get to spend time with DeMar DeRozan when he was announced. Mm-hmm. Just your overall thoughts on DeMar DeRozan on the Sacramento Kings. And just so you know, at FYI, you did ask earlier, it does look like the Sacramento Kings are on a 6-game road trip during the time that you're getting married. They do not play on April 5th, but okay. they're on a 6-game road trip, which, sorry, Jason Anderson, you just drew a short straw.
poor guy. I'll make it up to Jason somehow. But yeah, DeMar DeRozan, I think in many ways, you know, you can talk about the basketball fit and, you know, how I think there are questions like, do they really need another ball handler? And are they going to have the same pace and space style that we've seen under Mike Brown? I think that's less important because I do think DeMar DeRozan is open to, you know, being malleable in terms of how he fits with the offense. And I think they just needed another bucket getter. Like the Kings, without Malik Monk, the Kings offense really didn't have any other viable options in a playoff or play-in setting, right? So I think DeMar DeRozan gives them another closer. I think he's going to fit better offensively than people are expecting. And he's an adult in the room, right? Like, he's been in a lot of playoff games. He's been into multiple All-Star games. He's a team leader. And you know, Harrison Barnes certainly had some of those things in terms of leadership and presence, but he just wasn't the same type of bucket getter. He wasn't a guy that you really trust in clutch situations the way you will DeMar DeRozan. So initially I was a little bit dubious about, you know, the Kings are free flowing, love to pass the ball, move, shoot threes. And it's like, well, now DeMar DeRozan gives them another club in their bag that's different than what they had. And so I think the Kings are going to be a lot more difficult to defend down the stretch. I do think there might be some questions about him defensively, but I think what he does offensively is going to outweigh that. And I think it was a really solid addition for the Kings. And I think they're definitely, it seems like the West is, they're like, they're very thin margins between the top, like, eight teams in the West. And I think the Kings are firmly in that mix. And I think that's a good place to be. And I think it's going to be pretty exciting for them this year. And I think the goal for them should be win at least one playoff series, given that, you know, you have potentially three All-NBA guys now with Fox, Sabonis, and now DeMar DeRozan.
There we go. Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee, Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, thanks for joining us, man. Thanks for stepping in. Yeah. Well, your partner in crime from the Candlestick Chronicles, Kyle Madsen, is away and hanging out.
Yeah, hopefully he's kicking his feet up, relaxing a little bit before the slog of NFL and NBA season. But I appreciate you guys for having me, as always.
Hey, Chris. Thanks, Chris.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.